Is it not astonishing that enemies of Allah can cooperate and coordinate for tyranny and oppression against man and religion? And you cannot unite to defend the cause of justice and truth. Contrary to it, you are disunited and discordant. Sorrow and shame is going to be your lot. You have become targets towards which arrows are directed, and you cannot defend yourselves. You are being plundered, and you cannot protect yourselves. You are being invaded, and you sit idle with folded hands. And the commandments of Allah are being flouted before your eyes, and you are acting as its willing witnesses. If I ask you to march in summer, you want me to wait till the hot season is over. And if I order you for a move in winter, you make a request of delay till the cold season comes to an end. It is because you cannot stand the inclement weather. And if you cannot withstand them, you can never face an unsheathed sword. You appear to be men, but you have immature minds of children, and the timidity and the nervousness of women accustomed to their boudoirs. I wish I had not seen or known you. Let the Almighty Allah be my witness that your contact has brought shame and sorrow upon me. You have made my heart bleed and have filled my mind with grief. By not following my counsels and by disobeying orders of Allah, you have created a situation where Quraysh have started saying that though Ali is brave, yet he does not know tactics of war. May Allah forgive their parents. Is there one among them having as much experience of war as Ali has? Has any one of them been in the first line of defense or acted as a commander greater than Ali? You all know that I entered the battlefield when I was not even 20, and I am now 60. Are these experiences of no use to me? No. But when the commands of a leader are not obeyed, he naturally cannot improve upon the situation. Sermon 33. In this sermon, Imam Ali has advised people to abandon corrupt ways of life and try to achieve salvation. It is a fact that life is passing and it has tolled the knell of its departure. Hereafter is awaiting you and has clearly manifested its approach. If you want to win His blessings in the next world, today is the only day left for you to work for it. Tomorrow is the day for a reward, and the reward is paradise. Hell is the ultimate end of all those who spend their lives in pursuits of pleasures only. Is there not one amongst you who would repent before death, compensate for what he has done, and do good before the calamity of retribution descends upon him? Remember, your today may be the only time left to you to hope, desire, and work, and beyond today may be the biggest void, the death. Whoever works during this period of expectation and hope, the span of life allotted to him, shall reap the harvest, and death will not harm him. But if a man does not care to utilize this period properly, his time and work is wasted, and death will bring calamity to him. Remember, your work for Allah and mankind during this period of expectation, hope, and respite should be of the same high standard of sincerity and submission, which you will adopt when you are facing dangers and anxieties. Believe me, I do not know of any blessing as great as paradise. Yet those who seek it are so lazy and unconcerned about it. And also, I do not know of any punishment as formidable and everlasting as hell. And those who wish to escape it are so fearless of it. Remember, one who is not benefited by religion falls an easy prey to the devil, and one to whom guidance cannot lead to the right path is faced with calamities. Remember, life is decreed to move on, and you are directed to prepare yourself for the next world with noble thoughts and righteous deeds. I'm afraid of two things about you, that you may be misguided by temptations, and that you may be lured into wishful thinking. Avoid both and take from life such things as would protect you from punishment on the day of judgment. Sermon 34. In this sermon, Imam Ali has censored the words and deeds of the people who had surrounded him and had sworn to obey him and to fight against the enemies of Islam. But when the time for action came, they showed timidity and cowardice. The Imam has told them that since, through their cowardice, they could not protect their own homes, how could they protect the homes of others? They are expecting victory without trying to achieve it or deserve it. O people, though you appear to live together, yet your views and purposes are different. You are boastful and speak so forcefully that your words appear powerful enough to break hard stones, yet you act so timidously as to attempt your enemy to attack you off and on. When you gather together, you talk as if you will achieve great success. Yet, when time comes for you to fight for the cause of truth and justice, you try to shun and avoid it. One who appeals to you for help will never achieve honor and glory, and one who sympathizes with you will never have peace of mind. Your excuses and pretexts are due to your faulty and erroneous ways of thinking. You want to put off the war like a bad debtor, uselessly trying to put off the day of repayment. It is true that a meek, contemptible, and humiliated person cannot prevent oppression and injustice, and rights cannot be obtained but by efforts, endeavors, and exertions. Whose home and heareth will you defend when you allow your own homes to be plundered and destroyed? And under whose lead and guidance will you fight when you lose me? By Allah, whoever trusts you is badly deceived. Whoever tries to succeed with your help is doomed to failure. And whoever wants to carry on war with your help is trying to fight with broken and useless armaments. By Allah, I neither believe in you, nor do I hope for your support, nor can I frighten the enemy with you on my side. What has become of you? How can your minds be improved? Is there a remedy for your disease? Do you not realize that your enemies are also men like you? You talk of things without understanding them. You are careless of ways and means of success because of your sinful life. You hope and expect a victory without being fit to achieve or deserve it. Sermon 35. In this sermon, Imam Ali has explained the causes of the murder of Caliph Uthman and is having no connection whatsoever with that incident. If I had ordered him to be killed, I undoubtedly would have been his murderer. And if I had prevented people from killing him, I would have been his helper. But I have no connection whatsoever with that affair. Those who came to the help of Uthman cannot say that they were better than those who deserted him. And those who deserted him cannot say that they were better than his helpers. I shall place both sides of the case before you. Uthman was extremely willful and obstinate, and you were inordinately impatient and hasty. It rests with Allah, the Almighty, to pass His judgment between the willful and the hasty. Sermon 36. In this sermon, Imam Ali gives advice to Abdullah bin Abbas when he is sent to Zubair bin Awam before the battle of Jamal. Do not meet Talha. He is quite deaf to all convictions and reasoning. He is arrogant and behaves like a bull with raised head and horns tilted towards his back. He is trying to lead an illiterate, unruly, and unholy mob, believing them to be docile and obedient. but you must meet Zubair. He's reasonable and considerate. Tell him that he has this message from his cousin. You have accepted me in Hijaz as left of the Prophet and as your leader. But in Iraq, you refused to recognize my rights. What made you go back upon your words and deeds? Sermon 37. In this sermon, Imam Ali has advised his people to lead an honest and pious life and has explained the condition of the society in which they were living. O people, it is a fact that you find yourselves in harsh times and cruel days, times which try men's souls, times when virtuous persons are considered wicked, when tyrants and despots are becoming more and more oppressive and cruel. While you neither make use of your knowledge nor try to improve it, unfortunately, you do not even realize the calamity unless it ruins you. Remember that there are four major groups of people in this world. Firstly, there are those who abstain from vice, villainy, and violence because they are timid and cowards and have neither necessary means nor enough wealth. Then there are those who have drawn their swords, have openly declared their evil intentions, and have gathered armies around them. They are ready for every form of mischief and tyranny, and have ruthlessly chosen to put the power of evil ahead of all. They have sold their souls to the devil in exchange of the worldly benefits which they gain, of the armies which they lead, and of the pulpits from which they preach impiety and sin. But verily, it is a bad trade to barter your soul and blessing reserved for you for a vicious life and its allurements. And there are some who, instead of trying to gain blessings of Allah with sincere good deeds, want to secure a high place in this world with pretense of piety and holiness. The merciful Allah has not exposed them to the world, and they with easy conscience take wrong advantage of His benevolence to hide their sins under the show of piety and godliness. Lastly, there are people weak in mind and depraved in character. They can neither create resources nor can secure assistance from others, and thus find themselves deprived of wealth and social status. They also try to cover their humility and poverty under the guise of a religious and contented life, pretending to be virtuous and at peace with the world. Though morning, noon, and night, they think of nothing but how to acquire wealth and status. Besides these four major groups, there is also an insignificant minority of those pious people whom the true conception of His divine greatness and might does not allow to be cruel, villainous, and haughty, and whom the fear of the day of judgment does not permit to lead a frivolous life. Theirs is a sorry plight in the present surrounding. They are driven away from the society of their fellow beings, often terrorized, humiliated, and persecuted. Some of them are silent workers, sincerely and unostentatiously trying to draw people towards the path of religion and Allah, while others, who cannot find opportunity even for this, live in seclusion, often surrounded with humiliation and poverty, loyal and sincere to their mission. They are like persons thrown into the sea, with hands and feet tied and mouth gaged. They can neither swim to safety nor can cry for help. They have done their duty to man and Allah and have tried to bring people round religion and truth, till most of them were so ruthlessly suppressed that they lost every position and prestige in society, or were so mercilessly killed that what remains of them is now an insignificant minority. You must realize that a vicious life and the pomp and show gained through vice are really worthless. Renounce the world, thus acquired as contemptible. It has always deserted those who fell madly in love with it. Take a warning from the lives of others before your own lives become an example for others to take lesson from it. 38. Abdullah bin Abbas says that Ali was marching the head of his army to Basra. When the army stopped at Ziqar, he found Imam Ali cobbling his old and worn out shoes. Abdullah bin Abbas looked at this act of Ali with astonishment. The Imam, seeing the look of astonishment in his eyes, said, "Abdullah bin Abbas, what for you would be the cost of this pair of shoes?" Abdullah bin Abbas replied, "Nothing, sir, not even the cost of the stitches put on them. They are worthless." The Imam said, "Abdullah bin Abbas, if I cannot establish a regime of justice and truth, and if I cannot eradicate tyranny and impiety, then the value of this caliphate is less to me than the cost of this pair of shoes." The Imam then turned towards his officers and delivered the following sermon. "Verily, when the Almighty Allah sent Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, as his messenger and the prophet of peace, there was not a single person in Arabia who actually knew anything about the heavenly book or who had claimed to be prophet. Our holy prophet guided men till they saw the right path and found the road to salvation, till he taught them simple living and high thinking, and till he brought them peace of mind and faith and assurance. I let Allah be my witness that along with him, I also toil to remove ignorance and impiety till the mind of his true and faithful followers were completely cleaned of these evils. During this work, I never felt dejected or exhausted, nor was I ever afraid of opposition. My mission today is the same as it was during the time of the Prophet. I shall strive till I eradicate impiety and injustice, and till I establish a rule of justice and truth, a humane and divine regime. By Allah, have the Quraysh given up realizing who or what I am. I have fought against them and defeated them when they were infidels, and now I will fight against them to overthrow their tyrannous, unjust and impious rule. Today, I am as much their well-wisher as I was during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, and my courage and determination have not been lessened." Sermon 39. In this sermon, Imam Ali has expressed his sorrow over the mental conditions of Iraqis, warning them of the results of negligence of duty and indifference to religion. "Alas, when I say that I am tired of advising and rebuking you, I speak more in pain than in anger. What has become of you? Have you really accepted a vicious and sinful life in exchange of eternal blessings? Are you sincerely satisfied with humiliation and subversion in place of honor and glory? If I order you for jihad against enemies of Allah and religion, your eyes roll as if you are passing through spasms of a fainting fit or suffering the agonies of death. Apparently, you do not try to understand what is being taught to you, and thus are puzzled and perplexed as if you are insane. The confused condition of your mind is such that you behave like camels that have lost their riders and stampeded nervously and aimlessly if someone tries to gather them in one place. I have completely lost faith in you, You're not the kind of helpers who could be trusted, nor such honorable assistance as could be relied upon. You are hopeless and useless fuel for the fire of war. Your enemies are befooling you and intriguing against you, and you are not a match for them. They are continuously planning for your destruction, and you are quite indifferent to the danger. They are reducing boundaries of your territories, and you do not feel disturbed over it. I swear by Allah that those who forsake and desert one another and do not adopt an effectively collective measure to resist the enemy will always be subdued and conquered. I am positively sure that in a violently fierce battle, when you see many lying dead around you,
you will desert me.
Remember that you are surrendering to any enemy who ruthlessly wishes you to cut your flesh into pieces, to crush every bone of your body, and to flay you live or dead, shows how incompetent, cowardly, and debased you are. You are at liberty to adopt such a course of life. So far as I am concerned, instead of allowing the enemy to gain an upper hand over me, I shall defend myself to the best of my ability and leave the rest to Allah. O people, remember that you and I have mutual duties towards each other. My duty towards you is to teach you correct ways of life, to provide a welfare state for you, to raise incomes and standards of life for every one of you, to educate you, and to infuse civic sense in you. Your duty towards me is that you do not violate your promise of allegiance to Allah and religion, to be always loyal to me, to observe discipline, and to obey orders. Sermon 40. According to Muhammad bin Abdur, the Mufti of Egypt and commentator of Nahjul Balagha, when the Imam was engaged in the battle of Siffin against Muawiyah and his army was on the verge of a disastrous defeat, Muawiyah's commander, Amr bin As, suggested that they should bribe some officers of Imam's army and also take up the ruse of raising the Holy Quran on spears and surrendering and saying that they surrendered before the Quran and desire to appoint an arbiter to give a verdict according to the teachings of the Holy Quran. This trick succeeded, though Imam Ali advised his officers not to be deceived and not to convert an overwhelming victory into an idiotic truce. Yet money and the guise of a few rags that were raised on spears and were named the Quran won the day, and except a few trusted and faithful officers like Malik Ashtar and Qais bin Maqal, the others laid down their arms and a truce was declared. Arbitrators were appointed, and as Imam Ali had predicted, these arbitrators sold the cause of Islam along with their souls to the devil. Some of the chiefs realized their folly and came to Imam Ali with apologies. It was not that occasion when this sermon was delivered. The merciful Allah must always be thanked, though you may be facing harsh time or encountering reverses and misfortunes. I testify that there is no God but Allah, the Almighty. He has neither a colleague nor an associate, and that our Holy Prophet Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants. I want you to learn this obvious truth, that to disbelieve the advice of a solicitous and devoted friend, and to disobey the counsel of a learned, experienced, and well-wishing advisor always terminates in shame and grief and results in regret and sorrow. Do you remember the advice I gave you in respect of that arbitration affair? It was truly a sincere and highly valuable advice, but behaving like suspicious and evil-wishing enemies or faithless and untrue followers, you refused to accept my counsel, till I was reluctantly forced to withhold it. You lost the golden opportunity and are now realizing it too late. I wish you had realized it in time. Sermon 41. The Battle of Narwan took place between Imam Ali and the Hajiites. The Hajiites were the people who were in the army of Imam Ali at the Battle of Siffin. As described in the note of Sermon 40, they compelled Imam Ali, against his better judgment, to accept the proposal of arbitration. But when the result of arbitration was made known to them, and when the promises made by Muawiyah were not fulfilled by him, they declared that Imam Ali had made a mistake in accepting arbitration, because no one could arbitrate in the affairs of Islam but Allah. With this ruse, they decided to fight against Imam Ali and gathered an army of more than 12,000 soldiers and attacked Narwan, a town on the bank of Euphrates, and killed its governor, his children and wife. The poor woman was pregnant. After killing her, they ripped open her abdomen, took out the baby, and cut it into pieces. Then they started an orgy of murder and loot, killing such famous persons as Sinan Saidawi and Harith bin Mura, and many men, women and children. They pillaged many houses at Narwan and many towns near it. Thus, Imam Ali was forced to fight against them. This battle took place at Narwan. Just before the battle, the Imam warned them in the following sermon, drawing their attention towards the fact that it was they who had brought about the arbitration at Siffin, and then they had drawn their swords against him for making the very same arbitration a reason of fight against him. This sermon contains a prophecy which came true, and almost every soldier from the army of the rebels was killed before the day was over. I want to warn and advise you against this battle, for you may all be killed in it, and the next day sun may shed its morning light upon your mutilated and blood-stained bodies strewn along the basin of this river. You and only you will be responsible for your death. You will die without justifying your action before man and Allah. You have no reason whatsoever to declare a war against me. You are maddened with the lust of false grandeur of a sinful life. It has confounded you and has entrapped you in its mesh. Do you not remember that from the very beginning I was advising you all not to accede to the proposal of arbitration and truce at Siffin? But behaving like a bitter enemy of mine, you refused to accept my advice, and I was, with great repugnance, forced to concede to your demands. Your fickle-mindedness and want for judgment was responsible for the loss. But now you want to lay the responsibility at my door and make it a cause of revolt against me, though I was always your well-wisher and never suggested to you anything that would have brought harm to you. Mean and contemptible you have been, and so you will always remain. Sermon 42. In this sermon, Imam Ali has described his sincere efforts, courage, and fortitude for the cause of Islam, comparing with other Muslims, especially during those early days when the Holy Prophet first started preaching Islam. I stood up alone among my contemporaries to welcome the order of Allah while they were keeping back timidly. I boldly came forward to defend the faith while they were nervously hiding their heads under their hoods. I unhesitatingly testified the message of Allah while they were dumbfounded with the fear of unbelievers. I trod the path of truth under the divine light while they stood still under clouds of uncertainty and doubt about religion and Allah. I never spoke aloud of my virtues and never aspired for rewards, though I surpassed every one of them in attaining divine favor. Possessing these attributes and distinctions, I rose higher than any of them and stood alone at the eminence. My stand was firm like that of a mountain, which neither cyclone could shake, nor tornadoes break. Not a single person has any justifiable cause to blame me or to find fault with me. All those whom society has wronged or unjustly humiliated are respectable and dear to me, and I shall secure for them their just claims and rights, while despotic and arrogant usurpers of human rights are contemptible in my eyes, and I shall make them give back the rights and privileges wrongly usurped by them. I have cheerfully resigned to the will of Allah and have willingly bowed my head at His commands. Can you believe that I could frame a lie about our Holy Prophet? I was the first person to testify him as the Prophet of Allah. How can I be first to calumniate him? Therefore, when I deliberated upon my state of affairs, I came to the conclusion that I must give priority to fulfillment of promises made to the Holy Prophet regarding the problem of asking the people to take the oath of allegiance to me.